From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Brian and Vinny, along with Granny and Craig and sometimes other people. They're paid by a con, and they'll say,
everybody, it's a Brian and a Vinny and a Craig show here today, and we got a lot to talk about. Hey, we're free. That's right, we're free on YouTube right now, and on Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, because hey, it's Monday, it's Cyber Monday, and we got a special going on, so we wanted to tell you about it, as many people as possible. Yes, you can get a month of WrestlingObserver.com, a full month. Half off if you go up right now to WrestlingObserver.com. It ends today. We did do, what's the Friday one called? Black Friday?
Typically, yes.
Yeah, we did that one. Shut down the rest of the weekend. It's now Cyber Monday, but this is it. There is no Taboo Tuesday or Wacky Wednesday.
Sunday, Brian.
If you do not, no, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Around the world, it is now Cyber Monday. And if you don't sign up today, you can't sign up. At least it happens.
Ever? You'll never be able to subscribe again?
I may limit it, everybody. This is it. We're shutting down all new subscriptions. If you don't sign up today, you can never sign up again.
Okay, I don't normally get involved in the business end of things, but we have to talk.
Nope, that's it. This is it.
I'm sending an email to Tony right now.
Yes. But today you can get that 1 month at half off. And there is a promo code, so listen carefully. Are you listening to me? F4W50. Why? I have no earthly idea.
Excellent.
But for some reason, that's the promo code. F4W50. I guess 50% off?
Sure.
F4W50? Yes. So go to WrestlingObserver.com right now and use the promo code F4W50. And today only, get a full month at half off. And by the way, a full month is going to get you a lot, kids. I mean, that will include the Christmas show.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. So I strongly recommend that you use this 50% off code. Now, if you're on Spotify, I don't think we can do anything for Spotify. We tried. You just have to sign up if you want to. Normal price. And Apple Podcasts, we have 3 days free. If you've never tried it on Apple Podcasts, f4wonline.com/Apple. And they won't let us do anything on YouTube either. Had a couple of people, you know, people comment and everything on some of the... Oh, they don't care about the YouTube subscriber. Ah! So people are I don't like to use the term stupid. Confused, maybe?
Yes, you do. Listen, love that term.
I don't like the free YouTube chat on Observer Live Monday through Friday. I've never said anything negative about the subscribers. The subscribers to the YouTube channel, a great group of people. Of course I care. But... YouTube won't let us do a sale. So what do you want me to do about it? It's out of my hands. But I know that if you go to the YouTube page, video.f4wonline.com, every now and then they'll just offer you something. They'll go like 20% off or whatever. So take advantage of it. But I can't do anything. They don't let me. I can only do Apple Podcasts. I can only do the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. But anyway, give it a shot. It's half off right now. Wrestling Observer Radio, Brian and Vinny Show. Figure Four Daily with Lance, Filthy Four Daily with Tom, Adam and Mike, Jim Valley Show. There's There's like 25 shows or something.
Big Vinny V.
80. Yeah, I guess you do a show. Is that right?
Sometimes. Yeah.
84 shows a month. 84 shows a month. And you can give it a half off right now. And actually, on WrestlingObserver.com, you get the whole library, too. That's about 15,000 shows at last check. 15,000. Half off. My life's work for like $6.49.
That's how much it's worth, huh?
Apparently. Anyway.
Quite the life.
Let's get it going, everybody. So we went to Vancouver.
Sure did.
No, we didn't.
Oh, are we going to do this, Craig?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. Nobody was invited.
Okay.
Sean and I applied for a media pass.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like me.
Sure.
So Sean got approved.
Right.
Sean asked if I was going. I said, I mean, I guess I can get a ticket. So I bought a ticket, and that was it.
Okay.
I did not invite Rodney. I did not invite Vinny.
Okay.
But about 2 days before the show, a reader emailed me and he said, "Ah, man, I hear you bought a ticket. I got an extra. I got two extra." And so Vinny and Rodney were here, and I said, "I know a guy with two extra if you want to go." And so they emailed him, and away they went. This was not a party you were not invited to.
Well, it just happens often.
Oh, get out of here, Craig.
So, Craig, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you go to, for example, a Pearl Jam concert.
Yeah, when was the last time I was invited to Pearl Jam?
You don't want to go.
I was never invited.
Are you invited to these concerts,
I like
Craig?
Yellow Lead better.
You don't want to go.
I know.
Brian, you cut me off.
Oh,
Craig,
sorry.
Craig, are you invited to these Pearl Jam concerts?
Vinny,
Eddie and Stone call you? I say, Craig.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's not. I'm half serious. Yes, but
Vinny, I'm just busting Brian's balls.
Always mine. Yeah. Balls.
Well, my balls are getting collateral damage here.
Yeah, it's got collateral ball damage.
Yes.
Well,
God. And I don't even want to talk about Rodney.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't either.
Rodney won't do the show today. Yeah, show the picture of the mic with no Rodney. Yeah, but I do like the picture of me right in front of the microphone. Because I do have pillows in my office with my picture on them.
Yeah.
Don't ask why. Rodney's very upset that I said if there was ever a physical altercation, I'd trust Vinny and Craig before Rodney.
Well, I wasn't there, so.
I cannot believe how outraged he is. Yes, it is. Get over to the mic and tell me the problem then.
No, you already know what the damn problem is.
No, actually, I don't. I thought it was, I said I would have them protect me before you.
Oh, you said on Wrestling Observer Live that you can't get me to do anything physical.
Oh, well, that's, I mean.
That's what you said.
Are you going to jiu-jitsu?
I went with the kids to that.
Actually, you did go bounce on the trampoline.
Thank you so much.
That's true. Yes. All right, I apologize. I have gotten Rodney to do one thing physical. He jumped on the trampolines. At Elevated Sports. And unlike, I'll give you this, Rodney. Unlike Vinny and Craig, you could get out of the pit.
I do remember having trouble.
Don't laugh, Rodney.
I had trouble with the pit. Yeah.
Vinny, we needed six guys to get him out of the pit.
It was like quicksand.
And that was when he was 40. You're 46.
And then you're going to reveal how are you going to just reveal my age on this?
Well, no one even knows anything about you because you're hiding.
No, I'm not hiding.
Would you like to review the show with us?
No, I would not.
Brian.
Yes, Craig.
Would you like to review the show instead of us?
Yeah. You want to take my spot here? I'll go sit in the dark.
I get you a shovel to get out of the hole.
Sit in the corner. You're sitting in the other corner.
No, you'll sit in the corner in the dark.
Oh, my God. Yeah, for free, B.A. Charles says. This show's free.
As it should be.
Rodney did go with us.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, so we're in Vancouver, yeah.
Yeah, I'll put you over again, Rodney. Rodney wasn't the one that took us into that fucking mall.
What? No, that was my idea.
Yeah, that was your idea, wasn't it? You want to tell everybody about the mall in Vancouver?
So we got there plenty early, and Sean had to get inside for his media response to be there. We had like 2 hours to kill to look for food.
Kill is the operative word.
And we walk a block or two from Rogers Arena in downtown Vancouver.
Oh, I know where you went.
And I say, hey, look, International Village Shopping Center.
God.
Surely there'll be a food option in there, a food court where we can all find a bite to eat. And we step inside. The lower floor is sort of swap meet-ish. It's not as fancy as it may sound, this International Shopping Mall. But I see a sign saying food court upstairs.
It wasn't even the food court. It was the, what the hell do they call it? It was like the food carnival or the plaza. Food carousel or something. It was designed to make it sound fun.
Well, I take those stairs up to the second level. The first thing I see is a cat cafe. I think, oh man,
they serve cat.
I mean, you play with cats and eat food.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
I may skip the show and stay here. I look across the way. I see a number of food places, including a Taco Time. Hey, Taco Time.
Hey,
we'll all be okay. But you know what? It's been a long drive. We've walked a couple blocks. We should probably use the facilities before we sit down for food. The biohazard.
that should have been a warning.
That we endured.
Well, first we walked by the women's restroom, and there were like cops running in with guns.
There was alarms going off. And
they're literally, I swear to God, there were alarms going off. Yeah. There weren't cops with guns
there was a yet, cop.
But there was a police officer. Yeah. And there were alarms going off in the women's restroom. And we just like walked by it. I don't even know why. We just kept walking.
Well, I had to do something.
I guess you had to go to the restroom, yes.
Yeah.
And we went in and I mean, I don't know how to say this without sounding flippant, but it's possible someone died in that bathroom. Am I wrong?
It very literally smelled like death.
Yeah, it was the most disgusting, like the most disgusting smell I've ever experienced in my life. It was the most absolutely disgusting bathroom I've ever been in.
Yes.
I've been in rest stop bathrooms. I've been in porta potties, all of them. Yeah. Nothing ever not compared close. To this.
No.
And Vince had to pee so bad, he peed before he left.
So, well, yeah.
Didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably improved the cleanliness of the room with my urine. Got the hell out of there.
Should have peed all over the room to like fix the stench.
I might have helped.
Yeah.
It might have helped.
I hadn't thought of that.
And I left and I looked you in the eye and I said, I'm not hungry anymore.
Yeah. And we left.
We got the hell out of there.
Yeah. Mm. We walked, a mile and a half to go to fucking
Spaghetti Factory. No more wandering. No more exploring. Let's get a goal. Let's pick a target and advance towards it. And we found the Spaghetti Factory.
That was absolutely disgusting.
We passed by the pet psychic on the way to the Spaghetti Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you pay money for the psychic to, like,
talk
about your pet.
Yeah. Or read your pet's paw.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a palm reader.
Here's a premonition. You're going to lose money.
Yeah. And so we ate the Speedy Factory. We went back to the arena, and everything there was a grand old time. Mux at the border. The border sucked.
Did you go to Sumas, or did you?
We ended up going to Sumas because the Sumas wait was 0 minutes. All the Blaine area crossings, 2 hours plus.
Yeah.
So driving almost an hour east to Sumas, and then...
We literally drove to the Sumas border, and there was not one single car in line. We drove right up to the empty thing. The lady goes, where'd you go? Sean goes, Survivor Series at the Rogers Arena. She goes, did you bring anything back? He says, Tim Tams or whatever.
Tim Hortons.
Mm. He goes, all right, get out of here.
Yeah.
We left.
It was so empty, we thought we were at the wrong place.
Yeah.
This can't be a border crossing. There's no one here. And then using the Google Maps back roads to go south, then west, then south, then west, then south, then west, then southwest for an hour, we eventually got to Bellingham.
And was Abbotsford closed? The Abbotsford truck crossing?
I think it's the Abbotsford. I think Abbotsford is across from Sumas, isn't it? It's Abbotsford on the BC side.
Yeah. Sean's on the chat right now.
Is he?
He's got nothing better to do. No exaggeration. There were zero cars, he says. Yeah, that's right.
Nice. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. So then we came home. And that was that. What did he do?
Well, John in Memphis wants Rodney on the show. Actually, everyone in the chat wants Rodney on the show, but he's refusing.
Yeah.
Please tell John I'm not in the business of giving you what you want, even if others may want it as well. Well, they do. They do. You're disappointing all of the listeners, Rodney, who are listening literally for free right now.
He's building demand, too.
I do like that every time you talk, Jared shows a picture of that microphone with nobody there.
Yeah.
Like you're a disembodied voice. All right. Let's do this.
So, one way or another, we all watched Survivor Series, November 30th, 2024. It opened with a women's War Games match. My primary takeaway from the show is something I've observed many times.
Too much downtime?
Not even that. In the matches, I've said this many times reviewing Blood and Guts or War Games or whatever, but whatever variant you want to call it. 3 minutes is way too long for interval time.
Oh, yeah.
It needs to be 2 minutes. In fact, 90 seconds may be better. These matches took forever. You think, Vinny, it's only 1 minute. What's the difference? First of all, there's eight people coming in, so it's 8 minutes total for the time of the match. Second, it drags on and on. And you,
well,
we'll Vinny, get to the. It was worse than the men's match, frankly.
No. As far as there's a big difference here, okay? Mm-hmm. You could have had 5 second intervals. It was not going to save this women's match with Nia Jax in there. She was absolutely atrocious in this match. And she's had her days. I'll admit it. I've seen a few matches over the last year where I thought, wow, not bad. That was a good Nia Jax match. She had a match with Naomi on SmackDown.
I remember
that one. A legitimately very good match. Mm-hmm. And man, this was a disaster. They had her go in first. She worked 30 minutes
yes.
in this War Games. She went 5 minutes one-on-one with Bayley, and it was absolutely terrible, mm-hmm. and nothing was saving this timing-wise, interval-wise. It was doomed the moment Nia started and had to go 30 minutes.
So I had the perspective of watching on TV and hearing Bayley yell spots at the top of her lungs to get Nia to participate in this match was comical. And that's besides the chair shots that she threw. This first part of this match was horrendous.
Well, actually, before we get to the match, I do want to say that when they started the show and they lowered the cage as an air raid siren, which might have been the same one in that bathroom now that I think about it, and then all this fire and flame and shit was shooting out of the ring, it was absolutely ridiculous. And also totally awesome.
Sure.
People ate that up. That stupid siren and fire as the cage came down. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, it was Bianca, Naomi, Io, Bayley, and Rhea against Nia, Tiffany, Liv, Raquel, and Candice. 15 straight minutes of entrances.
Yeah.
Yep. That was a long time.
So Bayley and Nia start. You've already covered this. Then something happens that I was not expecting. The babyfaces had the advantage.
Yes, the babyfaces had the advantage.
Now, it turned out there was a reason for this, but it totally screwed up the war game, what traditionally is referred to as the war games portion of the match. Back in the day, the war games is the part where they all take turns coming in, and then once that last person comes in, then the match beyond begins. Mm-hmm. This time, nowadays, when the last person gets in, you have the announcer scream, "Let the war games begin!"
Now, is that because AEW actually filed the Match Beyond trademark, Brian?
I actually don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. So, War Games, it's got the word war in there. It's supposed to be a very violent blood feud settling match. But damn it, it's Naomi's birthday. She's wearing a party hat down to the ring. And everyone, pretty much everyone in the entire show, took their good old time getting into that ring, looking for weapons, killing time, not in a hurry to get in, letting their friends die. So, Naomi gets in there, making it 2-on-1 advantage babyfaces. And Nia kills them both for a while.
Yeah. These fucking baby faces in this match. This is one of those matches where I know like hardcore WWE fans are listening to this and they're mad at me, mad at you. But the fact of the matter is these women should be furious to be put in a position, especially the baby faces, where they had to look so incompetent. Like they had the advantage the entire match. And every time it was 2-on-1, 2-on-3, 3-on-4, they got their asses handed to them. They got their asses handed to them when it was a fair fight. They got their asses handed to them when they were in control. Mm-hmm. Because you have to get some heat, but like, they're incompetent. I mean, God. I mean, you wonder why they're chanting happy birthday at Naomi? Because the match sucked. Because he had two baby faces in there against Nia, and Nia's beaten both their asses.
So, eventually, it's time for the next woman to come in. It's the heel team side. Tiffany is about to come in. Everyone loves her, even though she's a heel. Candace cuts her off and everyone boos. Candace gets in there and Nia's already in control, so Candace is unnecessary.
This was where Nia hit the weakest chair shots I've ever seen. And The crowd actually turned on the match when she threw these bad chair shots, which in 2024, with the current WWE audience, virtually never happens. This is the most forgiving, nice audience. And man, they turned on her for those chair shots. They were horrible.
Bianca enters. Nothing of note happens. Tiffy is finally next, and as I noticed, she may as well be a babyface. She and Nia double team everyone. Again, this is with the heels having a fair fight, beating the babyface's asses. Io comes in to save the day and promptly has a gymnastics competition with Tiffy. They're just doing flips.
Yeah.
Raquel is next. She and Nia do giant stuff as they whip all the babyface's asses in a fair fight.
Crowd's dead at this point. Yeah, yeah.
Rhea comes out. Rhea's the last woman to enter for her team. She comes in to make it 5-on-4, advantage her team. As she is striding down to the ring, the young child behind me asks their parents, why is everyone laying on the ground? What happened? So Rhea squares off against...
First, Rhea goes to get a table.
Yeah.
Because everybody loves tables.
Yeah.
She tries to get this table in the ring. It takes a couple of attempts. She finally gets the table into the ring. She's the final babyface on the babyface side in the biggest star. And she strides into the ring, and they beat her ass. I was dying at this point. Dying.
Well, she did make a comeback. And I understood finally why they did this this way, because they wanted Liv to be the last one in the ring so that when Liv came out, Rhea would be standing tall, daring Liv to come fight her. They got that visual out there. So Liv gets in the ring, and I will say, up to this point in the match, I hated it as much as just about everyone else. I thought once they all got in there, it was pretty good. Pretty good.
It was certainly better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I forgot to mention, when Io hit the ring, she brought her custom-painted trash can with her and left it at the top of the cage. Just, you know, letting everyone know, this match won't end until I get it back up here and get the trash can and do a dive.
Right.
So she goes back up there to get a trash can and do a dive. Tiffany says, well, I too shall do a dive. And she climbs up to the platform in the corner on the other end of the cage. And she stands there. She looks over and she sees 50 yards away, whatever it is, Io's struggling with her trash can. This is taking a while. Tiffy just stands there. She's not posing. She's not like wobbling to show how high up she is. She's not cursing over the crowd. She's just standing there waiting.
She waited and waited and waited and waited.
Now, at home watching on television, all these women were down. You had one woman scaling the cage and Tiffany standing there waiting. And the other pack of women that were down on the ground decided to huddle up and then break into separate corners to make the catch, if you will.
Basically.
It looked ridiculous.
Well, I promise
imagine
you.
Imagine watching it live.
I promise you this was more God. Ridiculous live.
Yeah.
Minutes pass. Finally, Io puts a trash can on and jumps. Tiffy does a big jump. And I don't know how many 15,000 people were there, whatever it was. They go crazy. They don't care. They would have waited for an hour for Tiffy to stand up there doing nothing. She did a big flip at the end, and they were happy. So the big moment is Tiffy, among all the plunder, finds her own briefcase, which she has stashed in case an opportunity presented itself. And then she turns around, and both champions, Nia Jax and whoever the other one is, they're both down. And she's, I think, flustered. She's not sure what to do, and then someone cuts her off. She never did cash in anyway. And in the end, Rhea is fighting with Liv, hits a riptide off the top rope through a table, and pins her.
Yeah.
And
this was bad.
I enjoyed the second half.
I think the last few minutes were all right. People got into the dive with the trash can. They got into the idea of the cash-in, which Io prevented, by the way. And the finish, you know, the riptide through the table was a cool little spot. Like, I didn't give it, like, a bad rating. I gave it, like, 2 3/4. Because, I mean, they worked really hard, and the people that were competent, like, did some good stuff. But goddamn, Nia, holy smokes. It's just, yikes. And the psychology was all fucked up because the women had the man advantage, or the women's advantage, and it just killed the crowd, because the crowd's, you know, watching three baby faces unable to beat up two heels. Like, how do you get behind people like that? So there were many, many problems with this match. If I were one of the women in the match, I'd have been furious. I'd have been like, I will never do a war games where the baby faces have the advantage again. You can fire me if you want, but it just, and then I'd have been mad when the match was over. Like, I'd have gone through the curtain and been kind of pissed off because of that. But after I watched that fucking main event, I'd have been five times as mad because the main event, the heels had the man advantage. It was so simple. The crowd was into it 50 times more because it made sense. God.
So I had plenty of downtime here to go give myself a nice Molson Canadian.
Yeah, I left after every match just to walk around. And I mean, I walked around for a long time.
Get your steps in.
Yeah, I got like 13,000 steps. Yeah. Got back in. Next match hadn't started yet.
Yep, that's nothing.
Somebody actually sent me the list of how much downtime was in between the matches. And it averaged like, 15 minutes in between every single one of those matches. 15 minutes. Yeah. Try and find it. Go ahead.
LA Knight versus Darth Nakamura for the United States Championship. So they're doing this match, and it's fine. It's TV-level match. And I'm thinking about how often I've seen LA Knight wrestle this year, and the fact in 2024 he became WWE's Iron Man. And I'm kind of blown away by that. And he doesn't get his finish, but he hits a bunch of other big moves. He's kind of getting a bunch of near falls. And knowing the way this company books things, I thought, man, he's not going to lose a title here, is he? And they start to fight in between the rings. There's like the diamond plate they can stand on in between the two rings there. And Elliot tries whatever, but they're fighting over a suplex. But Shin reverses it into a reverse DDT onto the diamond plate. I said, oh man, that's a heat spot if ever I've seen one. And he throws Elliot across into the other ring, hits the Kinshasa, and pins him.
I was absolutely baffled at this finish. And the funny thing is, this match didn't have like a ton of heat. They were in LA Knight's entrance and everything like that. But once the match started, it's just like, it was a TV match. They weren't really much into it. And he hits that reverse DDT and the knee to the back. And the fucking crowd went crazy. Like, they were shocked, as I was. And it got a big pop. And then Nakamura was like over as a babyface because they'd actually seen something happen. And I didn't think for one second that Nakamura was going to beat LA Knight. And honestly, the reason for it is because I've been watching Nakamura's entire WWE career and how many championship matches and feuds has he had, and he just loses and loses and loses. Remember he was fighting AJ for the world title?
And lost like five in a row?
They got to give him the world title at some point. Shinsuke Nakamura. It's like lost, 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 lost. And then, yeah, it was like five matches. The fifth one is like, this fucking guy's lost four times. Like, he's got to be winning here, right? Lost. So I had no faith whatsoever that he was going to beat LA Knight. And then it was over. I was like, God damn, he probably will beat him at Saturday Night's main event, get the title back or something. But yeah, that was quite the shocker.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that they changed his music when he came back and then changed it a day later again.
Yes. That's what's weird.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of music for a guy who's been around.
It's all been pretty good.
Sure, sure. But, yeah. A lot of different songs. Braun Breaker versus Sheamus versus Ludwig Kaiser for, was it the Intercontinental title? Yes. This was awesome.
Dear Lord above. Mike. Wow.
They had a very simple story, which is that Braun Breaker and Sheamus just wanted to fight. Just look each other in the eye, line up man to man, and destroy each other with all they could. Ludwig Kaiser was a little weasel playing hit and run, stick and move, throwing off the game. They both were very irritated. At least Sheamus can look at Braun Breaker and say, this man won't try to surprise me. Won't catch me off guard. I don't know what's coming with him. This Ludwig Kaiser, I can't trust him. So they beat just the holy shiznit out of each other, all three of them. And like, Braun disappears for a while, and Sheamus is beating up Ludwig, and you think this is the point where if Sheamus is going to win, he's going to pin Ludwig Kaiser. It's felt that way. And goes to make a cover, and Braun hits one big spear, and Sheamus is stumbling around. He's stumbling around and stumbling around and stumbling around. He's stumbling so long, I expected him to counter whatever's going to come next. And then Braun speared him and pinned him.
The most notable thing here was the near fall that they had when Sheamus hit that bro kick on Braun Breaker. And I don't know if it was because Shinsuke beat LA Knight in the previous match, but man, Braun went for that spear, hit a chair lodged in the corner. Sheamus hit that brogue kick, and this fucking place went Wild. And he covers the guy, and 17,000 people said, one, two, and Ludwig pulls him out of the ring, and this got massive heat. These fans thought that Sheamus was going to win the Intercontinental title, and they were furious when it did not happen. And up until that point in the show, there was no bigger near fall. There was no bigger moment. That was the biggest pop of the entire show, was that near fall after the brogue kick. And then, yes, Braun pinned Sheamus with the spear. Excellent match. Apparently a lot better than I thought at the time, because I gave it 3 3/4 stars, and everybody else talking about it, this was like a 4.5 star match. Maybe it was.
Braun was kind of the star of this thing. I mean, he was flying all around, and like even the commentators were like, out of nowhere, and like you didn't see him coming. He did some dive. I think it was off the steps, because he literally came into frame of the picture. He's going to hurt himself, though. It was 2 weeks ago.
If he didn't kill himself when he hit that corner, it ain't going to happen.
My goodness. When he hits something on his own, where he's the one taking his own bump, he's going to knock himself silly. He did it at least a half dozen times in this match.
He's a Steiner. He may be indestructible.
That's actually fair.
Yeah. It is time for the men's War Games match.
No, it's not.
You're right. It is time for Gunther and Damian Priest. Skipped ahead.
Skipped an entire world title match.
Of my favorite wrestler.
Yes.
A long one.
God.
Gunther defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Damian Priest.
Like, I thought as an actual match, I thought this was a little bit better than that three-way.
What?
But they had they told a really good story, which is Gunther has no confidence until Damian Priest did a tackle and hurt his own shoulder.
Yes.
And Gunther all of a sudden was like, his
eyes wide up.
It's my chance.
Yes.
And he worked over this guy's shoulder. And like, it was a simple story, but you know, the fans saw him selling his shoulder, and Priest did a great job selling it. And Gunther goes to work on it. And like, the people were into these holds. They were doing holds. And like, the people were into it. My God, his shoulder. And Priest did a great job fighting out of these holds, but then he'd hit a big move in his shoulder. Ah! I thought, God damn, this is a really good match. And the crowd got super into it because it was like a really good match with a good story.
So that did happen. It was super long. It did change throughout because Gunther did a lot of stalling early. And people around me were not happy with this. There were exactly two people chanting boring. And I'm talking like 2-3 minutes into the match here. But there was trying to get a boring chant started. One guy just stood up and screamed, God, Gunther sucks. And he walked out.
What?
But again, as you noted, it picked up because
I hope you spent $1,000 on that ticket.
Because as you noted, Priest tried like a spine buster or something. But he puts Gunther down, just grabs his shoulder. Gunther didn't do a damn thing. Priest's body failed him. And Gunther stops and his eyes light up and he's a different man. He's a whole new Austrian. And he realizes this man's a weakness. I can exploit this. I know what to do. And he starts to tear apart and people are totally getting into it. Very long, but very, very, very effective. And Priest starts to make his comeback. And they're doing something or other when Priest is up on the top rope and like, Gunther's trying to suplex him down. And suddenly both guys fall. Gunther falls into the ring. Priest falls into the floor. And I heard you fucked up chance broke out at that point. I'm not sure if that, I think it just, well, it's what they wanted to do, obviously. Yeah,
that was obviously the plan. You had to have it one guy in the ring and the other guy out of the ring.
So Finn Balor zooms in out of nowhere. Hits the foot stomp off the stairs onto Damian Priest's belly. And as he's standing there gloating, pointing, laughing, he is oblivious to Gunther leaving the other side of the ring, runs up and boots Finn Balor right in the face. Takes him out.
We're actually going to get a babyface Gunther at some point.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. He tosses Priest into this ring, hits a power bomb, gets his convoluted choke on him, and Priest fights and fights, but he blacks out. Ref stoppage. Gunther wins. Still world champion. Yeah, and I'm thinking at this point, my first thought was that you can do Gunther versus Finn at the Rumble. Then I thought about how weird that would be. I thought maybe they'll throw Damian in there and make it a three-way as well. They may do that.
I don't know if there's any of that. I think it was just Finn interfered. He doesn't like a guy interfering in his championship matches, so he had to kill him. And we're doing, you know, Priest and Finn Balor. Maybe sure. Finn's going to go after Gunther. I don't know. I mean, Gunther would certainly be the babyface in that scenario, but I guess we'll see.
I thought this match was good. I didn't think it was better than the three-way by any means, but the story was good. Priest sold his shoulder pretty much from the second move of the match. He had a shoulder block, and he was selling his shoulder from the time that by the time he tapped out. But yeah, I thought this was like I said, I thought it was good. I didn't think it was better than the three-way match, but hey, that's me.
Now then, as I was saying, it's time for the men's War Games match. Bloodline versus New Bloodline.
Yeah, it was about 15 minutes in between each match, except this one had about 25.
Sure.
That's a long time.
And some of that 25 was a very wacky video where the wrestlers in the main event identified themselves and made up fake colleges like it was a football game starting lineup introduction. I don't know why. I don't know what this plugged or what sponsorship was tied in. But I did laugh when Jimmy Uso declared himself to be from NYU, No Yeet University. I laughed. So Tama Tonga and Jey Uso start. They have a very fun 5 minutes of wrestling. Out comes Big Bronson Reed to make it 2-on-1 advantage heels.
And there was heat from the opening, like the very... Well, first off, we got to talk about the entrances. So all of the Bloodline,
The new Bloodline,
they all came out together.
Yes.
Because I don't know if we really need a Tongaloa entrance.
I don't see Tongaloa really popping the crowd big. Yeah.
But I got to say, if we instead of had 25 minutes of downtime, had 10 minutes of downtime, and then in that remaining 10 minutes, I got to actually see Tongaloa get his own entrance, I'd have been okay with that. Hmm. But I didn't. So Tama Tonga and Jey Uso start. Yeah. Jey Uso, he got the biggest reaction of anybody in the show. He was the most over guy on the entire show. Even more than Roman Reigns. I mean, it was crazy. He came out. I mean, I will say, like, when Roman comes out, 17,000 people in the building, at least 15,000 are doing the finger. And then, you know, Jey comes out and he's doing his thingamajigger. There's 17,000 people doing it with him. And they did it for a long time.
Yeah.
And, like, these people are so into Jey Uso. And so, you know, Jey Uso is the first guy in. So immediately, like, people are into the match. But then they start chanting for everybody there in the cages as well. They're chanting for Sammy. They're chanting for Roman. They're chanting for Punk. So, like, they were into everything.
Well.
And then Bronson came in. And it was heat.
It was 3 minutes of double teaming. And I don't mean, like, Midnight Express convoluted Young Buck style double team spots. I mean, you hold him. I'll punch him. Let's both stomp him.
They double team this guy, and they beat his ass 2-on-1.
Yes.
And the fans knew we should chant for his brother. So they chanted for Jimmy because they wanted to see the Usos.
Well, I think they chanted for him because he was the one guy left they had not chanted for.
Well, he was next. They were right.
He comes in the ring. He is in a hurry, by the way. He's not wasting time.
Yeah, his brother's getting killed.
He hits the ring as hard as he can. And he evens the odds for a while.
This is Usy chance.
Yes.
The Usos are back together.
So it is time for the next heel to come in. Tongaloa takes a step forward. Solo blocks him. Sends Jacob Fatu instead. Fatu hits this ring. What an awesome showing this guy had tonight. Kills both Usos by himself. Looks great in the process. Just destroys everyone. It's time for the babyfaces to even the odds. The siren goes off. Punk takes a step forward. Now Roman blocks him. He's Bloodline, the tribal chiefs calling the shots here. Sami Zayn is very reluctantly sent out instead. Sami runs wild a bit. Sami and Jimmy reunite, do their very complicated high-fiving sequence. But it was not to be. The heels are already winning when Tongaloa does actually come out. So he stops to get a table. Now, Brian, you mentioned the crowd was chanting for everyone. But
they didn't chant for Tongaloa.
Well, no, they didn't chant for Tongaloa, but
no.
None of these wrestlers, not CM Punk or Jey Uso or Roman Reigns, no one got more or louder chants than JT Miller.
It's true.
The hockey player.
Yes, they were chanting for him.
For minutes on end. For a long, long time.
Well, it was Tongaloa getting a fucking table.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, actually, I couldn't believe they had a baby face. They didn't have a baby face to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that always gets a pop. Yeah. But quick note that Tongaloa, like, if you watch this match, he could not use his left arm at all. It was just hanging by his side. Like, he used his other arm for everything. And, I mean, I've been asking all day, and No one has any information on him being hurt. But, like, I watched it. Like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. He looked like he tore his rotator cuff, couldn't lift his arm up. I mean, it was crazy. He did the whole match like that. And people are telling me the guy's fine. So, I don't know. I guess we'll find out, but I think he's hurt.
So the only two baby faces left in their cage now are CM Punk and Roman Reigns. And there was a shot here. They didn't show a lot of the action on this on the big screen. Some of they did, but there's a shot I saw later when I got home, was checking reviews, of CM Punk on one side of the cage, arms crossed, sulking. Roman Reigns, the other side of the cage, arms crossed, sulking. Neither looking at each other. It's the two pretty girls of the party. Can't be friends. Laughed my ass off of that. So the siren goes off. Roman says, I shall be the next one in. He slowly begins to power stride out the door.
Well, maybe if he didn't walk so fucking slow, brother.
Yep.
God.
Punk blew him up. Punk got bored waiting for him. So Punk hits the stairs, and he looks in and sees the heels are waiting for him. He looks back at Roman. They did a very, very brief tease that Punk might even walk out of the match, but he just walked out and grabbed a toolbox, which he used as a weapon. Only slightly more effective than Nia Jax used her chair.
With a callback to the toolbox he hit Drew with from the last show.
Because that's true. But eventually he is overwhelmed by Jacob Fatu, of course. And so the new bloodline already has the edge when Solo is the last man in for that team. They slam everyone's door in the cage over and over again.
They slam their door in the cage? They slam their
head in the cage. Head in the door of the cage.
Yes.
Yeah. I was distracted by the people chanting for JT Miller. Still more over than all these wrestlers. Fatu hits his moonsault.
Tell me a hockey player is more over than Solo Sikoa.
In Vancouver, yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes, and CM Punk, by the way. Also more over than CM Punk. Fatu hits the moonsault, the double jump moonsault, and Bronson hits a tsunami. They're all looking, monstrous. So Punk's fighting alone. He's the last man standing for his team, but getting overwhelmed. Solo then gets in and he locks the door. He gets a cage, a chain around the cage door and locks it from the inside. This door won't open no more. So Roman finally comes out, realizes he can't open this door. He must get in to save his crew.
Apparently the announcer said he cannot get in. It's impossible. Even though there's no roof on this fucking cage.
Well, they were wrong.
Yeah, he just climbed in.
It's possible. He climbs up to the top of the cage, and guys are coming up to stop him and getting punched down, and Roman Reigns gets to the top. I think, was it the top of the cage or seeing the top rope?
No, he climbed over the top, stood on the top rope, and then jumped on about 19 guys.
He did the Ricky Steamboat high cross onto at least a half ton of human beings.
Yes.
Crowd was absolutely crazy for that.
Yes, they did.
That is true. So
work smarter, not harder.
Indeed. So the babyfaces are running wild. Roman and Punk go for the simultaneous spear go-to-sleep combo they used when Punk debuted in that brawl. But there's a malfunction at the junction, so to speak. And Roman accidentally spears Punk. Lays him out. And then Roman gets spiked for two by Solo. They keep wrestling. Fatu apparently just plain old missed a moonsault.
He went for a springboard. He slipped.
I see.
He fell off the ropes and grabbed his leg.
Right.
And was limping around all over. Mm-hmm. But I can confirm it was exactly what I thought it was, which is he fucked up a move and sold his leg.
Attaboy.
He was not hurt.
Good. Happy to hear that.
He is fine, but he did a hell of a job covering for that botch by selling his leg.
Yes. So they lay Roman across the table. And who should climb to the top of this cage but Big Bronson Reed? And this man is big, I promise you. And he gets up there. And I am having flashbacks to the last time I saw someone, before the show, do a dive off a cage. It was Adam Copeland. It went badly. Bronson Reed's way bigger than Adam Copeland.
Well, it also went badly.
Mm-hmm.
He destroyed his ankle. And apparently he's got to get it checked out tomorrow, but doesn't look good. So that sucks. Yep. But goddamn, it was a great looking splash.
A 400-pound man flying through the air.
Yep. He did an excellent, excellent job in this match.
And he'd have killed.
He's back soon.
Indeed. He'd have killed Roman Reigns, except Punk sprung to his feet, pulled Roman off the table. And Bronson just went through the table by himself. So Punk has now taken accidentally, but he took a shot from Roman, shrugged it off, and came back to save Roman. He has shown his loyalty now. But that took Bronson Reed out of the match, obviously. Fatu is still out there running wild on one leg. Worked injury or not, he's still on the leg until he takes the 1D. And then they lay him across the table. And Jimmy Uso goes up for a cage dive. And I'm thinking to myself, we just saw Bronson Reed do a cage dive. No one's going to care about Jimmy Uso doing the same thing. I was wrong. People went crazy for Jimmy Uso doing the same thing, even though he's half the size.
And he also got hurt. Broke his toe.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So he cage dives Jacob. That's him out of the match. So everyone's down and out, taken out. Solo Sikoa stumbles to his feet, realizes he is surrounded. There's now 1-on-5 advantage all of them. And everyone looks at each other for a while. Roman gives him one last chance. He's a kind-hearted tribal chief. He like opens his arms for a hug or whatever. And Solo looks at him and like, ah! He charges. And so they all kill him.
What a dummy.
They hit all their super kicks.
Super kick, super kick. Kick in the corner.
Go to sleep.
He barely got that go to sleep.
He's a big dude.
He needed two shots, but he got it in the end.
Yeah.
And then a spear.
Pinned him. So the original bloodline wins. They're all happy. Punk is like, he shakes all their hands. Roman last. They're on the same page. And then he leaves alone. And there was a point here where they were right very early when Roman came in, where they were not getting along. And Paul Heyman came out to plead with them to fight together. And in the end, they did. And Punk left on his own first and then came back and posed with the crew for the big group photo. And like as soon as that bell rang, we get a text from Sean. I'll see you at the car.
Yeah.
He's on his way. I'm like, dude, something's going to happen.
I was trying to figure this out as well because, okay, so a couple of things. Sean was in the press area.
Yeah.
And I actually can't even believe this because they do not do this for AEW. But they gathered all of the press in the press area and they said, all right, everyone, let's go downstairs for the press conference. 10 minutes before the main event ended.
Mm. What?
And like everyone but Sean left before the main event was over.
That
is bizarre.
It's bizarre. It does happen at Super Bowls and things like that.
I know, but at least here's the thing, Vinny.
Yeah.
In a Super Bowl with like 5 minutes left, you pretty much most of the time know who won. You know what I'm saying?
They can be. There have been times.
When the crew reporters
is in the elevator and the phones light up and, oh, the score just changed.
Sure. But for the most part, like, right? For the most part, with 5 minutes left, I'm talking like not five minutes on the clock. I'm talking there's 5 minutes left.
In real time.
Yes, in real, so like 10 seconds on the clock.
Quite often.
Okay. So you pretty much know. This is the main event of Survivor Series. And like in theory, the press is there to cover Survivor Series. And they all left before the main event so they could go down for a gimmick press conference. My mind was blown.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm watching it at the end from my seat that I paid for. And I see, like, you know, they have everyone celebrating on the screen. And I knew then it was over because that's their WWE ending. Everyone's there. Their Punk goes like this, whatever. And they put the little thing on the bottom of the screen. And I said, I'm going to give it 5 seconds. Waited 5 seconds. Nope, it's over. And I left, which is interesting because none of the fans left. As I was leaving, when the show was, I thought, clearly over, everybody was still there watching them celebrate. So you figured there had to be more.
I was fully expecting the music to hit and Rock to come out and do something.
Mm.
Like he did 2 or 3 shows ago. All he did was come out and lift his eyebrow.
His random nothing happening return that led to nothing.
I thought there would be another one, yes.
Yeah.
But no.
Didn't happen.
Nope, they just left. And so, if you watch the show, you would think this bloodline thing, that's been going on for years. Years! Years, years, years. You would think this is the blow-off and it's done.
Yep.
I'm sure it's not. But that's how it felt.
Well, Dave and I argued yesterday. He's trying to tell me that people are going to care about Roman and Solo for the Ulafala.
Why?
I can't fathom that. I can't fathom it. And someone did point out that Roman and Solo have actually never had a singles match together,
mm-hmm.
which is true, I guess, but goddamn, I could not possibly care less about this. Solo has been beaten time after time after time by Cody. He's been beaten in this feud. He's been saved by Jacob Fatu multiple times. He got beaten here in the main event, and all the baby faces celebrated. To me, there is only one thing that you can do, and that is The Rock needs to show up and say, give me that fucking Ulafala. I'm the tribal chief now. You have failed. He needs to take it. And then he doesn't need to be there all the time, but like he needs to be the new tribal chief. Solo can do his Roman match and get beaten for the 90th time. You can do a big long feud with Jacob Fatu. Can win that one eventually. And I think that this all needs to end with the Rock and Roman Reigns match. And somebody on my Twitter suggested like remember Steve Austin and Triple H had the three faces of whatever, three stages of hell or whatever.
Sure, it's been done a few times. Yeah.
You could do that, but you know whether you do that or you just do a singles match, I think it needs to be not like an I Quit match at WrestleMania, but they need to do Rock and Roman at Mania, and the only way to win is your opponent needs to say, I acknowledge you.
Mm.
That's it. That's your WrestleMania main event for a year and a half down the road. Not this year, the year after. And that's it. But I could not, I don't care about Roman Solo. I don't care about it. Like, it's done as a fan to me. It's done. I've seen it. I've been there, done that. So, an acknowledgement match, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the only thing that I could see coming out of this match would be something with Punk and Roman. That was the only...
They do Punk and Roman at Mania this year.
Sure.
And then Roman gets back on track, having to take out Jacob Fatu or whatever. Right. And then next year's Mania, that's your acknowledgement match.
Yeah, I'd like to see Jacob and Roman hook it up, too. Jacob's the only guy on the other team with any credibility at all.
Well, we got Jacob. We've got Hikuleo. Tonga still hasn't debuted.
Okay.
We got Lance Anoa'i. He's available. I mean, they got a bunch of guys that Roman can go through to get to the new tribal chief.
It's a large family.
But goddamn, why would you waste the Ulafala match on Solo at this point? Put that thing on The Rock, and that's your big blow off at the end. That's what I think. But I had a fun time at the show. It's fun. Know what I'm saying?
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Easy thumbs up show.
Too much downtime, but it was fun.
Easy thumbs up show.
Yeah. And you know what? I bought a better seat than Sean had in the press area, so I'm not upset about it.
When I looked up at that press area, like looked up. It's a hockey building. The press guys are way up in the sky, man. Yeah.
But he got better food.
Which he didn't eat, though.
Yeah, I'm sure he ate.
He said he ate a banana.
That's it?
He said he saw people getting salmon and stuff, but didn't know if they were allowed. So he didn't partake.
Wow. He said he had access to cookies. I had a big thing of popcorn there.
I had a beer.
And a Häagen-Dazs chocolate and almond bar. Yeah. I think that's it.
I had Thanksgiving leftovers and made into quiche.
Mm, quiche is delicious.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, there's more. I imagine a bunch of people want to hear that review. Don't care about what we talk about next. But we did watch more wrestling. Boy, did we.
Yeah, we watched Collision.
And Rampage.
Hey, I didn't watch Rampage.
I didn't watch Rampage. I wasn't told to. You know what was kind of cool about Collision? Usually my complaint about AEW is, this is a really great match, but why is this match happening? And there were some really great matches on this show. And the reason they were happening is because there's a tournament.
Yes.
Well, that is true, but there's also, and you know what's funny about this tournament is I was watching that opening match with Will Ospreay in the opening match on Collision.
He's pretty good.
Will Ospreay and Juice Robinson, and I was watching that match, and then I think I was also watching The Beast. Well, they like The Beast more, so I can't say that. So I'm watching Will Ospreay and Juice Robinson. And this crowd is impossibly dead for portions of this match. Absolutely, completely, utterly dead silent as they're doing spots. And it was amazing to me because, listen, I get it if this is just a random match on the show, because there's like no chance in hell Juice Robinson is beating Will Ospreay. But the funny thing is, this is the Continental Classic. And because of that, there are going to be weird outcomes. because you have to have the right people getting the right number of points. And in order to do that, sometimes a Juice Robinson needs to beat. So every single one of these matches in the Continental Classic, there can be an upset, and there will be some. But man, these fans did not believe for one split second that Juice Robinson was going to beat Will Ospreay.
They didn't believe he would. They didn't particularly want to boo either guy. They're both babyfaces. But they're doing this match, and as you noted, it's a good TV match in a vacuum. It may have happened in a vacuum, now I think about it, based on the crowd reaction. And they went like 15 minutes, and Juice tried a cradle. Will kicked out of one, turned the kick out into a Styles Clash. That only got two. Moved right into the Hidden Blade and got the win. It was a good TV match, but I thought, my God. Will Ospreay had such an aura when he showed up here. It's gone now. He's an AEW wrestler. One of thousands. It feels like nothing special about this guy right now at all.
I wouldn't say that. He's a very special wrestler, but he does not feel like a bigger star than a lot of other people on the roster because of the way that he has been booked.
Mm-hmm.
An opening collision against Juice Robinson? I don't know, man.
I will say this. I think Juice Robinson had one of his best singles matches he's ever had.
Yeah, with Will Ospreay.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah. So this completes the first round of Gold League matches. The current standings are Claudio, Ospreay, and Brody all tied at the top with 3 points apiece. And Darby Allin, Ricochet, and Juice Robinson all with 0 points apiece through round one there. Mariah May wants to do an interview at the photo shoot set. It's really just a promo. No one's there to interview her. Why did I break up with Mina? It's not because I watched her bounce around Japan with a ghost of my past, she says.
What?
Tony Storm, she's referencing.
Mm.
Yes, yeah.
She's not saying her name. But this is the close to the never. In fact, we have not broken up at all. We are closer than ever. She said she wanted to be world champion, so how could I not give her a chance?
That's not true. That's a lie by Mariah May. They are broken up.
Did Mariah have a black eye or was
Yeah.
It?
She had a black eye.
Had it for a while now.
Last week.
I don't know which match she got it in, but she's had it for a couple of shows.
One of the weekend shows last week.
I see.
Yeah. So that's the main event of Winter is Coming, which is 2 weeks. I guess a week and a half.
That's the main event?
I assume it's the one thing booked for Winter is Coming they've announced so far. Maybe they'll book something else, but
I hope so.
They have announced that match for Winter is Coming December 11th. MXM Collection and Johnny TV, or as I like to call them, MXM TV.
Out of all the things for this crowd to pop for...
Fuck, it was Private Party and Mystico
versus
the MXM Collection and Johnny TV.
When Mystico came out to team with Private Party against these guys, I shouted, what? Are you serious?
I had heard about this, and when it actually was happening, it's like one of those things that you know is true, but you still can't believe it.
Yes.
And I was so disappointed. I was devastated when Mystico and Mason did nothing together. There was one spot where Mystico dove on him, and I think there was one spot where they like grabbed his leg or something, but they did no spots together. To me, it's like, listen, if you're going to fucking put this match together, God damn it, I want him to do some spots with Mason Madden. Why the fuck else would you put this match together? They didn't give it to me.
No.
I was very disappointed.
They got the heat on Quinn. Hot tag to Zay, then a Mystico ran wild, and then the heel did some stuff for a bit. And eventually, Private Party pinned Johnny TV with a gin and juice.
Yeah.
And it ended. And going back to where Craig said when he opened the show, I asked myself, why did I even watch that?
Because it was bizarre.
It was bizarre.
It was absolutely bizarre.
It was not bad. It was not good. It was certainly bizarre. It happened. It was on television. Renee interviews Anna Jay. She can no longer challenge Mariah May because Mariah beat her for a title match, in a title match. She got a big win, we are told, over Deonna Purrazzo at Full Gear. And she can't challenge for that title. There are other titles she can target. She declares, this is one fat ass that cannot be kicked.
Yeah. That's her catchphrase.
Apparently now.
I am a bad ass with a fat ass.
Right.
That's her catchphrase.
Apparently, They had on a shirt for a while.
Yeah, there was a peach on the shirt.
Bad ass and a bad attitude. Yeah. Blue League match. Kyle Fletcher versus the Beast Mortos.
Now we're talking.
This match.
This was the best thing on the show. The people love the Beast.
Yeah.
They absolutely love him. So they hated Kyle Fletcher. The match had very good heat because of Beast and Kyle. I mean, this was worth my the price of admission, which quite frankly was zero, but still, yeah. I enjoyed this immensely.
Yes. My favorite part was Kyle last rides this Beast. Which is a feat.
Yeah. This is a big guy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Sometimes you see these luchadors and, you know, they look really big, but then you see them wrestling non-luchadors, you realize that guy's not big at all. He's like, Penta's a good example. You know, if you see Penta, you know, in a vacuum with Mystico, he's a big jacked up, you know, guy, but he's not that big.
No.
But goddamn, they put the Beast in with Kyle Fletcher, who was a legitimately really big guy. Mm-hmm. And Beast did not look small.
No.
And
no.
Kyle giving him the last ride was, in fact, a very impressive feat.
Yes. But Beast comes back, flies off the top rope with a diving crucifix bomb, gets a big lariat for two.
Place is going nuts at this point.
Yeah, it's a Beast. But the ref counts two, and Fletcher kicks out. And Don Callis sternly says, "This is upsetting." But he stays at the desk. Fletcher makes his final comeback. It's the running corner kick and a sheer drop brainbuster for the win. Kyle Fletcher is slaying the Beast Mordos, or at least out wrestled him.
Yes, he did.
That was good.
It's fantastic.
Lexi wants to talk about the Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal when she's interrupted by the Kingdom and Kyle O'Reilly, who are all bickering with each other. I think they're trying to recruit him. They ask him for his respect. He says, "I respect you plenty." He walks away. And they're all confused. Whatever. We see Takeshita being Ricochet at full gear. And then Callis and Takeshita cut a promo. They don't really say much. 2025 will be the year of Takeshita and the Don Callis family. I don't know the last time I saw a match where I was such a fan of one team in this case and hated the other team so much. The Outrunners versus the Iron Savages. I was so happy when the Outrunners came out. I was so angry when I saw the Iron Savages. The VHS effects for the Outrunner's entrance is brilliant. Mm-hmm. The screen goes yellow. There's scratch lines everywhere. That's awesome.
Did you adjust your tracking?
Yep. So the match is short and bad. The fat, clumsy guy, whose gimmick is that he's fat and clumsy, tried something, but he was too fat and clumsy to do it.
Oh.
He hot-tagged Turbo, or Truth hot-tagged Turbo. Turbo body slams the less fat guy. Can't get the fat one up. The fat one double-goozes the Outrunners. They fight out. Turbo finally slams the big fat guy. They hit the son of a bitch elbow. They nearly botch their own finish, and they win.
The guy didn't go up.
This is a disaster.
Yeah, here's the thing. You know, when the Outrunners started to get super over, what did I say? Put the tag titles on them.
Mm-hmm.
They're over. And if they end up not being over, take the tag titles off them. It doesn't matter. But when something's getting over, like, capitalize on it. They did not. They did not put the tag titles on the Outrunners. And I am not saying that we are now at the point where the Outrunners are not over, but a couple of months ago, this match would have been over. The Outrunners and the Iron Savages. It is now to the point where they like the Outrunners' entrance, but not enough anymore. Seeing them with the Iron Savages, they did not care. So they need to get back on track, and I don't know.
Yeah,
I think we've passed the peak here, unfortunately.
Yep.
The new car smell has wore off.
Yep. Feels that way with Ospreay, feels that way with the Outrunners. It's a thing.
I am very excited that they are coming to Defy this month. At the end of this month, they are coming to Defy to wrestle the Midnight Heat.
Yes.
Which should be fantastic.
Another 80s tribute act.
Yep.
Someday they will get FTR in there for the three-way. But mm-hmm. FTR did come out here to party with the Outrunners, signaling we're going to turn on you guys when the time is right.
Yep.
Lexi interviews Matt Caster. Max Caster. Not Matt. Max Caster. He says Swerve's been acting crazy. He assaulted me. He tore my jacket. I could sue that guy, but that's not real rap. I just wanted to point out even I understood that reference. So Swerve, you gold tooth bitch. I want you Wednesday at Dynamite. And Lexi asks about Bowens and Billy Gunn. He says, I haven't talked to those guys since the pay-per-view. Bowens was pissed after he lost that match, Caster says. I'm sure they'll have my back at Dynamite.
It's a weird guy.
He is a weird dude. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Hangman Page versus Wheeler Yuta.
So bizarre to see an actual match with two stars in the mid-card of Collision. It's like one of those matches where I'm like, wait a second, Hangman is facing Wheeler Yuta in the middle of the afternoon on Collision. And there's probably going to be a winner. And there was.
There was.
And I enjoyed the match and all, but it like caught me off guard because they do this so rarely. Usually Hangman would just be facing some rando, beat him, do an angle with Wheeler. They actually did the match here.
They did the match. Hangman is selling his leg, making his comeback. He is distracted when Pac and Claudio and Marina and Moxley all appear in the crowd. But he gives it his all. Match continues. And he kicks out of the seatbelt, hits the Deadeye, gets the win. The Death Riders are disappointed, but they don't take any further action. They just stay in the crowd. So Hangman is not satisfied. He goes back to beat Wheeler, trying to bait Moxley into the ring. That doesn't work. He's surprised Hangman is. These guys will let Wheeler die. He goes to pilmanize Wheeler's neck. Death Rider still won't lift a finger. Jay White comes out to make the save instead. And when I say make the save, I mean hit Wheeler Yuta with his finishing move. So everyone just hates everyone. I'm tired of trying to figure out all the shit out of who's on whose side, who's saving who, who's friends with who. I'm tired. I'm worn out. We don't really need. Remember when we were reviewing Superstars episodes and they would bring in usually a new babyface, but sometimes someone would be there. And he'd just get like a 2-minute promo to put himself over, thank the fans, whatever, and just say, call out any three heels. And they'd say, like, I don't care if it's Skinner. I don't care if it's IRS. I'll take on anybody. Or if they heel, you say, I don't care if it's Bret Hart. I don't care if it's Razor Ramon. I'll fight anyone. I need all the great people on AEW shows to come out, call out three other wrestlers, and then I can draw lines and figure out who is on which side now. It's too much for my tiny little brain to handle.
I'm just confused as whether Moxley likes Wheeler or not.
I'm very confused by that.
Moxley likes Wheeler, but not enough to like care.
That's
he likes the kid, but like, fuck, you know, should have beat the guy. Tough love.
Sure.
It's tough love.
Thunder Rosa promo. She's going to beat Harley Graham on Rampage tonight. Then she's going to watch Mariah and Mina. Wants us all to know that she's a former world champion. She has a win over Mariah May. Winter is coming, but La Mera Mera never left. Lexi tries to interview Hangman. He totally denies her. But Chris Daniels grabs him, says this thirst for vengeance is poisoning you and taking you away from your goals. I don't really. I'm not sure what he's got vengeance against Wheeler Yuta for. He beat him up, pinned him, and then was trying to bait Mox into the ring. That's his goal.
This was such WWE verbiage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
The last thing I need, Hangman says, is advice from an old man like you. Mina Shirakawa versus Layla Gray. You'll never guess. They went 50-50.
No, they didn't.
I was short.
I didn't watch it.
Right.
It's a long story. Okay. I made it all.
It doesn't matter.
What
you know what?
Reviewing.
It don't
Did
matter.
They really go 50-50?
I was like 4 minutes, but it was 2 minutes apiece. Yeah. Mina won, at least. The glamorous driver, which is basically a...
I thought you were quite fond of Miss Shirakawa, Brian.
I am, but I didn't finish the show. It's a long story.
Okay.
I didn't not watch it on purpose. Hmm.
Lexi interviews Willow Nightingale. Always a great promo.
Yep.
She wants to represent AEW at the Tokyo Dome, so she needs to win these qualifiers matches they got. She has defended the AEW title in Japan and won the New Japan Strong title. She's an international star. Orange should be AEW champion. Ishii should be Ring of Honor champion. We didn't make that happen. I got to put the work in to make this happen. Willow remains great. Blue League match. Kazuchika Okada versus Daniel Garcia. Yes, champion versus champion with neither belt at stake. Continental champion versus TNT champion Daniel Garcia. Everything I said about Ospreay applies for Okada too. He's just a guy. And there's a point in this match where, and they build it up like he always does. He busts out the dropkick. Nobody cared. The money clip, no more over in AEW than it was in New Japan. We can confirm that now. The crowd is lively here and there, but often took long naps. And Okada fakes a shoulder injury. And as they're summoning the doctor, he uses that as a distraction to use a chair and hit a DDT in the floor. He's very happy about that. They wrestle for a long time. There's no pop for the dropkick. Garcia gets a sharpshooter with 1 minute left, and this last win was actually awesome. He's cranking and cranking and cranking this hold. Every 10 or 15 seconds, he'll crank it in a little bit deeper. Okada is virtually in tears. He's biting his hand to prevent himself from tapping. He's scratching and clawing and wailing, and the time limit expires. Last minute was great. It's a draw.
A draw.
A draw.
Yeah.
I knew we'd have some draws in this tournament, champion versus champion.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch this match, Brian? Anything else in the show?
I saw nothing else on the show.
Yeah. I liked the match until the finish. Daniel Garcia was fantastic in this match. And he's kind of hit and miss lately, but Okada actually stepped it up for once. He actually, you know, put in some time, and so it's a good match. But I was very sad with the finish.
What do you want to happen?
Decisive winner.
Well, there you go then. All right.
Yeah.
So they go right into Rampage, which we'll skim through here because it's not that important.
Nobody else watched it.
Nobody else watched it, and I don't blame you. Yeah. It was technically, as they called it, AEW Lucha Libre Rampage, November 30th, 2024. Your opening Lucha Libre match, Thunder Rosa versus Harley Graham, which is Harley Cameron under Hologram's mask. She unmasks herself and declares, "It's me!" And everyone cheers. Then she puts the mask back on. Thunder unmasks her, and everyone boos.
Oh my gosh.
They want to wrestle the mask. They did a short comedy match. Thunder hit a package powerbomb and won. That was out. Renee interviews Mercedes, who says she's not here to talk about Camille. She's here to celebrate Lucha Libre. Eddie Guerrero was her favorite wrestler. She's a double champion. She wants even more gold. Top Flight in Action, Andretti versus Atlantis Jr., Masco Dorada, and Shibata. And this just depressed the hell out of me. Not because the match was bad. It was a fun, action-packed match. But I've talked about this like 500 times now. This year began with Top Flight in Action, Andretti having an awesome trios match on Rampage that nobody saw. And it had, you know, it had no effect on their careers when all was said and done. And here we are. It's almost a full year later. They're in the exact same spot, doing the exact same things, only not as good because that match was awesome. But they're having lots of fun spots with the Luchadors, with Atlantis Jr., and with Masked Dorada. It's all fun and games. Shibata gets a hot tag, which is a totally different style than anyone else in the match. Makes him very much stand out. And he makes all three guys look like geeks for a while. Dorada makes them all look like geeks for a while. Top Flight make their comeback, working much harder than I can even understand. God bless them for that. And I wrote down it was futile, because having a great match doesn't mean anything anyway. And then it turned out to be futile because they lost.
Mm.
Dorada pinned Action with a shooting star press.
Really?
Yeah. There you go. Ready? Hook, Christian Cage, Kip Sabian, Nick Wayne video package. It is Nick Wayne versus Hook at a Hammerstein Ballroom coming up. I'm going to say when.
Exactly. There's three shows, and they didn't tell us which one.
Yeah.
On one of these shows, this match is going to happen.
Yeah. Nick's a very good promo.
Yeah,
he's watching tapes all his life. How dangerous can you be, Hook?
Listen, if
you
have to his father every day.
Different kind of promo. This is not a Buddy Wayne promo. Now I'm imagining Buddy Wayne kind of promo on Hook. If you had a sneak attack me when I'm not paying attention, how dangerous can you be? I begged my father, Christian, for a match in Hook's hometown in a building his father made famous. And he's going to get it at the Hammerstein Ballroom. So, remember earlier we reviewed a Beast Mortos match?
Yeah.
I realized these shows were taped and not shown in order, but they aired back-to-back. Beast Mortos wrestled again.
Wow. Sounds good.
Beast Mortos versus Serpentico.
Oh.
Mortos what? Sold for Serpentico.
No, he didn't. Why? Stop.
Serpentico ran wild and hit a big dive.
No, stop.
Swear to God. It went through a commercial break.
Oh, my God.
They come back. I swear to God. The screen comes up. Mortos hits a discus lariat and wins. Why did that have to go through a break?
I don't know.
They could not have edited that into one segment. That happened. Camille is shown dead backstage. Someone's apparently laid her out with a pipe.
This poor woman's been through hell.
Yes. Dynamite does in a video package. Kyle O'Reilly and Brian Cage, Lance Archer, Mark Davis, Commander, Adam Cole all state their cases. I believe they said here that the winner of the Battle Royal will then get a singles match with MJF.
Yeah, and I think they announced it for like a television show and not the pay-per-view, which tells me Adam Cole isn't winning because why the fuck would you do that on television? This is all very weird.
Yeah. Your main event of Rampage, Commander versus Hechicero. That was awesome.
Sounds like a good match.
That was awesome. And Commander is the guy
who... I don't anticipate it doing very well, but it sounds great.
Commander's the guy who flies around and mounts on the ropes and does
cool high flying shit. And always loses.
Hechicero is the guy who does cool submission holds and power spots. And so they had a very fun match. The crowd was more awake for this than anything else on Rampage all night. And Commander, let's see, the Commander catches him in an armbar. He escaped that. The crowd is chanting, this is awesome. And finally, Hechicero hits a spinning hammerlock. He grabs him by the face, grabs like a front face lock, grabs a hammerlock and spins him around it in a position that would break a man's arm if he did it for real. Does a running knee in the corner and a head scissors into a guillotine. And as you noted, Brian, Commander loses every match. He lost this one too.
Well,
Hechicero won. It was a very fun match, though.
I actually may have to go back and watch that match. It actually sounds like a fun show.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's your Collision Rampage and War Games report. And just a reminder, it is Cyber Monday. And if you enjoyed this show, you should sign up because you can get 84 of these a month. 84 shows a month as part of your subscription. And you also get the Observer newsletters, the Observer archives, Figure Four archives, the board, the members only area at WrestlingObserver.com. It's all up there, and it is half off today only. Half off today only. So go to F4WOnline.com and go to sign up. And there is a promo code, which is F4W50. That's a promo code. You hear me? F4W50. It's a good today only. Half off. Head up there and check it out. And yeah, if you want just the podcast, Apple Podcast, 3-day free trial as well. But I would recommend the whole site because you get all the podcasts, all of the newsletters, 40,000 words a week in the Observer, archives, and plenty more. And yeah, 15,000 archived audio shows. And you can get it half off right now. WrestlingObserver.com, promo code F4W50, 50 for 50% off, I think. So anyway, check it out. And that's it. I'll be back tomorrow with Observer Live and another Observer Radio and Filthy Four Daily with Filthy Tom Lawler. So if you sign up, that's three shows tomorrow you're going to get. And Tom and I are going to talk SmackDown and also the Speed Tournament. The Speed Tournament we have not reviewed yet. So that'll be tomorrow. And that's it, everybody. Anything you want to say, Rodney? Rodney signed off. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Good night.
Adios.